Everybody with me? Okay, next frame. Now, I think it's time. We're talking a lot about the glory, but what I want to do is show you how to release the glory. Okay, you ready? See, you can remember this for the rest of your life, because once you learn how to release the glory, you can always do it. But I want to put a cautionary insert here, a caveat, if you will. You must be prayed up. You must be repented up. You cannot walk in the glory if there's filth, unconfessed sin, or anything else like that in your life. You need to be a clean vessel so that God can flow through you. Otherwise, your pipes are all stopped up, and the glory cannot flow through you. Everybody understand? Okay, so I think we'll take a second before we move on and learn how to release the glory. Let's repent together. Now, I believe in repentance. I believe it's a big key. No, it's not a little key. It's a big key to a big door. Because if you'll get repented up and stay repented up, and you do that by daily repentance, and depending on who you are, maybe several times a day. So I just believe in daily repentance. And so let's do that together. But first, we need to forgive everyone who's ever offended us, ever insulted us, ever lied about us, ever beaten us, ever stolen from us. There's a lot of heartbreak in the body of Christ. And I've found this out over the years. There's big, deep hurts. And we're clinging to them. We don't let them go. And that's the reason we're not walking in the glory. So we take an offense against a brother or sister. Could be a real brother or sister. Could be a spiritual brother or sister. We even take offense against God. We could be mad at God. Oh, I find so many people mad at God. Oh, you didn't do what you said. And then they get mad at God. So let's just do something now. Let's forgive everyone who's offended us. And then let's ask God to forgive us for all our sins of thought, word, and deed, okay? So I want you to take a second and think if there's anybody in your life who's offended you and you know, you have unforgiveness or bitterness. Ooh, that's bad. When you get bitterness, it takes roots. And then it grows and it gets worse. And the more you work it and remember it and ruminate over it, oh my gosh, it gets bigger and that tree gets bigger and the roots get deeper and you are a mess. God says if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. I heard too, that's right. And the rest were like, oh no. Well, this is a pretty big deal to God. He doesn't want you in unforgiveness. He doesn't want you in bitterness. He doesn't want you walking around offended all the time. Well, they didn't speak to me. And this is in the church. I'm not even talking about the world. Well, the pastor, he wouldn't even look at me. I'm going to stomp out and I'm not coming back. What? He probably didn't see you. Come on, get over it. Let's forgive so we can be forgiven. Okay, everybody ready? Lord Jesus, I choose this day to forgive all the people who have hurt me, wounded me, lied about me, used me, thrown me aside, stolen from me. All the people who hurt me in my life, my mother, my father, my sisters, my brothers, my pastor. Come on, people I've worked for, people who worked for me. I just forgive them all. And God, I forgive you too. Go ahead. You can forgive God now. Because he's already forgiven you. Hasn't he? Lord, I just forgive everybody. a lifetime of people who have hurt me. And today I choose, come on, I want everybody to do it. Today I choose to forgive everybody who's ever hurt me. In Jesus' name. Now, God, I give them to you. And I ask you to help them. I ask that they'd come to Jesus. I even ask you would forgive them, Lord. Ooh, that's a tough one sometimes. Yes, let's do that one again. I ask you would forgive them, Lord. All in Jesus' name. Father, I repent of all my sins, of thought, word, and deed. In the name of Jesus, wash me clean now in the blood of the Lamb. Forgive me now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you to hear me. That is absolutely vital to walking in the glory of keeping your life clean. Because then when the devil comes, he can find no place in you. But when you sin against God, when you sin with unforgiveness, when you sin in some way, you have opened a door. And the devil now has a legal right and legal access to you. And you're removing a piece of your armor. Whichever piece the sin was tied to, you removed it. When you repent, you can ask for the armor to be put back on. You can call it back onto your body to protect you. You see, Jesus bought that armor for you. He paid a price. It's called the armor of light. Who's the light? So you see, you're covered just like Adam and Eve in the garden. They were surrounded by light. This is before the fall. Yes, the glory of God was on them. But when they fell, darkness came. Sin came. And this is why our Redeemer is so important, because he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has redeemed us from all our sins. But what about if we keep sinning? That's willful. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we want to keep them, don't we? Love your neighbor as yourself. Turn the other cheek. Do good. A cup of cold water. Oh, yes, it'll be rewarded. Every smallest thing you do, God will reward you. But it's time we face the truth. We've got to keep our lives clean. We just have to. Because we want to walk in the glory, don't we? We really do. And so I'm giving you the best tool you ever heard. Repent daily and keep clean. All right, now it's time to release the glory. Are you ready? Okay, I want you to put your hands on your bellies, not your stomachs, your belly. And I want you to, one hand or two, it doesn't matter. But are you right-handed? Anybody left-handed? Okay, then your left hand. That's good. All right, very good. All right, so by the way, left-handers, who else is left-handed over here? Anybody in your family? Anybody else? Your father. There you go. Yeah, see, left-handed is probably the tribe of Benjamin. The whole tribe of Benjamin was left-handed. So you're probably tribe of Benjamin. What do you think of that? Yeah, I know. Okay. All right, so we're gonna say this together. Father, I thank you that you live in me, the hope of glory. Out of my belly will flow rivers of living water. I will let my light so shine before men that they will glorify God who is in heaven. Now watch me. I release the glory. Go ahead. Do it again. I release the glory. One more time. I release the glory. Oh, there it was. Who can sense that now? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Whew. I can feel that. It's real. tangible. It's alive. The presence of God is real. How many know? He's real. Oh, he's real. He loves us so much. Okay, next frame. Jesus shows forth the glory. Mark 9. Jesus, now, preface to that, during the Feast of Tabernacles, they were 6 days in Jerusalem, and Jesus took three men that he trusted. He only trusted three this much, his inner circle, Peter, James, and John. Oh, he loved and trusted them. And it says he took them up, not down to the valley of woe. He took them up to a high mountain, not some little molehill, a high mountain. So to get up there, they had to really have some climbing skills. I mean, back in that day, everyone wore sandals. Imagine the scree and you know, just your foot, whoa. And you got to keep going up this high mountain. And it says he took them apart by themselves. In other words, Jesus wanted to be alone with them and show them something precious. And so he took his most trusted inner circle. I just want to ask you tonight, are you his most trusted inner circle? Yes or no? If you can't raise your hand, maybe you need to repent again. You see, he wants to trust you. He wants you to be his inner circle. He wants to pour his glory in and through you out to a desperate, dark, and dying world. And he wants you to reach the lost in his name. Yes. We need to be desperate for more of him. And to get there, repent daily, spend time with him, pray, fast. Find a place in your house. Anybody see that wonderful movie, War Room? Oh my goodness, such a worth it movie. I can't say that about too many movies, but that one, oh my, wow. This lovely elderly lady cleared out a closet in her house and made it her war room, her prayer room, to war a good warfare. And she'd go in there every day, and she had stuff all over the walls, and she'd just pray and pray. And then at the end, she's teaching other young women to do the same. And I would say to each of you, you need a prayer closet. It could be a real closet, or it could be your bathtub. That's all I had for years. It's the only place in my little house at that time where I could get away and be alone. I could lock the door and get in the tub. And I just turn on that water and I just sit there. And God would just talk to me, and I'd pray and I'd wait. And he'd talk to me, and I would bless and praise him and talk to him, and he'd talk to me. And so I called it tubby time. But it was all I had. It's the only place. So I was raising three boys, and they were busy. And they were very busy. And that all was good until the day they figured out how to pick that lock. And after that, I had to find a new secret place to be alone with God. Because we all need that, don't we? Set apart with him. So he's taking his most trusted. I hope that's you and me. Up a high mountain, you know, there's scriptures, climb the mountain of God. And he wants us to do that every day and get alone with him in his presence. That's what's happening here. And it was during the Feast of Tabernacles. And you see a tabernacle. Who's our tabernacle? Jesus. But see, he was born during the Feast of Tabernacles when God came to tabernacle with man. So it's exciting to know that. And so now this was the time that he's going to take his most trusted up that mountain. And what did he do? He pulled back that cloak he wore, and he showed them his glory. All right? It says he was transfigured before that. That means metamorphized, changed, transfigured. And so now he was changed right in front of them because he showed them his glory. And they were so amazed. And Elijah, Moses showed up, and all this happened. And Peter right away, well, let's build three tabernacles. No, that's when God showed up. So Jesus is shining like a bright light. and exceeding white as snow. And it says then in verse 7, and there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud, and it said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. God would say that to you tonight. I am speaking to you. Hear me. This is the end of days. And the Lord is saying, I am coming. And I would say to you, are you ready? Have you learned to walk in his glory? Have you learned to release his glory everywhere you go so that people will just run screaming, what must I do to be saved? You see, there's a war. It's a real war, but it's a war for souls. The devil wants the souls, God wants the souls, and they're fighting over us. God already won, so let's walk in that. Let's walk in his victory. Go to the next slide. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Next. Next slide. I wanted to tell you now how we overcame Ebola. Who's heard of that? Ebola is a real disease, but it was man-made. I know it for a fact. But setting that aside, it is so deadly. Now, it broke out first in the Ebola region of the Congo. I love that region of the Congo. It's very beautiful, beautiful jungle. And the best pygmies are there. All my favorite little pygmies live in the Ebola region of the Congo. Now I have three villages there. And they listen to the word. They believe the word. They're very powerful in the word. But when I first met them, they were the most remarkable of all the pygmies. And so, what is Ebola? The pestilence that stalks in darkness. Go to the next slide. Ebola broke out in 1976 in the Congo, and it's a river tributary of the large river, the Congo, and it is only spread by contact of bodily fluids, but I'm going to show you how that's not really true. It is true, but it's more than it appears to be. All right, so do you remember when the most recent that you've heard about, because there have been several you never heard about? They cover them up. But remember when it broke out in West Africa, what was that, 3 or 4 years ago? I've lost track of time. And they were having a bad time over in Libya and Ivory Coast and all that. Well, during that time, a ship came from there. And it was an Ebola ship. People had it. And they docked in New Orleans and people got off in New Orleans. I bet you never knew that. And the person who was sitting in our White House at that time brought in 13,800 people from hot zones to America. You know what I mean by hot zone? It's where Ebola was strong. He brought them here. And the ship docked in New Orleans. Now, that was a different thing. But they got off, and they were walking around. And the first thing you heard about was Dallas. There was one man that went into the hospital, and they turned him away, and he came back to the hospital a day or so later, and they realized he had Ebola, and they put him in isolation. Meanwhile, he was exposed to a lot of people. So, you know, you think, oh, that can't happen here. Yes, it very well can. That's why I'm telling you this. Ebola is a real thing, and it's not the only terrible disease, but it's the only one we're going to talk about here. So patient zero for America, supposedly, was in Dallas. Now, Ebola is an airborne thing just by breathing. If you're in a room with somebody that has it, there are molecules that come out of your mouth every time you breathe, water molecules. So if you're in the room with somebody, and especially if they cough or sneeze and they have it, that's it. Except God is the breath of life. Come on. So I'm talking about this because the glory of God is going to be involved in these last days. And this is why I'm trying to teach people about this, because we've overcome it three separate times in the Congo since I started working there. Amazing, right? That's where it broke out. Okay, go ahead and next slide. Okay, there's four strains, Ebola, Zaire. Now, the Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo, used to be called Zaire. And before that, it was the Belgian Congo, and then it had other names. So Ebola, Zaire, where it first broke out in 76, 90% death rate. And with the other strains, less. So the one in West Africa was about 60, 65% death rate. But they couldn't get it under control. Now, I want to say this. Is anybody recording me? Say it again. A lot of the things like Zika, there are patents for that. In the 1940s, the Rockefellers, there was a patent for Zika in the 1940s. You can go online and find it. And they didn't release it until a couple of years ago, and Zika started going around. Everybody with me so far? You're looking at me like, wake up. That's what I have to say. Wake up. Don't be ignorant anymore. You see, the devil hates you. He wants you dead. And there are demons and wicked people, and they're doing things, they're inventing things to harm you as we speak. But here's the good news. We can learn to walk in the glory, and nothing can touch us. Nothing can touch us. Now, who wants to walk like that? All right? And I could go on and on with what I know, all this stuff they're doing, but I'm just going to go on here. Viruses are intelligent. Now, I'm a researcher. I love to research things. I have a blast doing it. It's just something I like. I like history. I like medicine. I like a variety of things, but the thing I like the best is the Word of God, because everything else can change, and the Word does not change. The Word is powerful, strong, mighty. And you can speak it, and you can rely on it. You can pin all your hopes and all your faith on the Word of God. And if you'll believe it, it works every time. Every time. So this is where I put my faith. But it doesn't stop me from researching so I can find out what's going on here, there, and yonder. So I've been to two microbiologists, and they're actually friends of mine. And I've sat down to dinner and chit-chat, and then we get in there and we talk, and I know a lot of stuff I don't have time to share with you. But what I want to say is, we have concluded together, I already knew it because God showed me. They confirmed to me that viruses are intelligent. Do you hear that? And they want to spread. They find a way to spread. So how does a flu spread? Coughing, sneezing. Everybody breathes it. Everybody in the room now has it. So if you don't have the resistance, or if you don't have the Word of God, you're likely to get it. So it's by faith that we walk through this world. This world is a dangerous and desperate place, but we have got to walk by the Word of God and trust the Word of God above circumstances of life. Everybody with me? Oh, I'm very passionate about this subject because I've walked through Ebola three times. And I'm going to tell you maybe one or two of those stories. I wish I could tell them all. Go to the next frame. Ebola is a genetically modified organism, GMO, declared Dr. Cyril Broderick, professor of plant pathology, in a front page story published in the Liberian Observer. Did you hear that? We have a doctor here. We have a nurse here. What do you think? Okay. All right. So it's genetically modified organism. Next. Got to stay with me. Next. Okay. Dr. Horowitz. Now, he's very famous, yeah? He confirmed the existence of an American military medical industry that conducts biological weapons tests under the guise of administering vaccinations to control diseases and improve the health of black Africans overseas. Do you think they're improving the health? I'm going to go with no. Okay, next. Further supporting this genetic engineering, the U.S. government patented Ebola in 2010 and claims intellectual property over the variants. Next. Ebola is the closest thing to real-life zombie. Did you notice all the stuff, zombie stuff that came out in the last few years? The zombie apocalypse is coming. 50 zombie movies came out. Zombie this, zombie that. Ebola is a gruesome disease that causes cells in the body to self-destruct, resulting in massive internal and external bleeding. Its late stages, Ebola caused the victim to experience convulsions, blah, blah, blah. Next. Flinging blood all over the room, and anyone standing nearby, therefore infecting those people as well. Okay. So it's like a horror movie. Go to the next one. Virus does not kill the people. The immune system in your body reacts, and that kills you. It's called a cytokine storm. Next. Okay. Now, this is the part I want you to see, and you can see the demonic aspect to this. You're going to have to look, though, because it's hidden in Psalm 91:10. There shall no evil befall me. Neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. So you're going to have to pray this in the last days. Memorize it. Remember it. Because it'll change your life. It'll give you faith. You'll know that you can overcome all the power of the enemy in the name of Jesus. I'm trying to give you something nobody else will tell you, because I've walked through it and I'm the living proof. Three times. And I'm perfectly healthy. Okay? This is what it does to your body. It disguises itself and stealthily evades detection and arrest by the security guards. That's inside your body. Okay? Once inside and secured, the virus disarms the security guard, rendering them incapable of sending signals for the protective commandos, the antibodies and cytokines, to eliminate the suspect, Ebola. So in other words, it sneaks in. This is what the devil does. He gets past your guard, and he gets in there, and he gets you to do something, or he draws you into some kind of sin. We could put it like that. So this thing is very demonic. And this is how viruses operate. So now your body, when it's in there, it gets a total grip. This is what the devil does. You don't know how many people I've cast demons out of, and the devil has burrowed in so deep, they really have a big struggle getting free. Everybody with me so far? But you know, nothing's impossible. I've always said anybody can have a demon that wants one. But anybody can get free that wants to be free. If they want to be free, it's a lot easier to work with them. So the devil gets past the guard that your spirit has set up, your soulish realm has set up, and gets you to do something. And then they come out of the closet, attack, and the cytokines go crazy. All right, next frame. The virus goes unchecked, overruns the body, explodes cells. The body begins defense too late. Isn't that what the devil does? This is why we need to walk in the glory. It's why we need daily repentance. Jesus said this, the devil comes, but he can find no place in me. It's why he was able to walk on water. It was why he was able to do the miracles he did, because he kept himself clean, free of sin. All right, now, the body, okay, launching entire immunological arsenal at once, through massive release of cytokines, shock and awe, a cytokine storm, and that is what causes your body to die. Next, you must stop the cytokine storm. So let's talk about this. You must stop the devil's attacks. You must cover yourself in the presence and glory of God. You must keep your life clean so the glory can operate through you in magnificent ways. Next. How did we overcome Ebola in the Congo? Epidemics, trials, tribulations. Any virus, any epidemic, any trial, any tribulation, how do we do it? with the glory. Next frame. I want to tell you about Bree Village. Okay, this is my favorite little chief. He's the very best of all the chiefs in the Congo. He is so precious and cute. I hope we get to his little sweet picture in a minute. In fact, go to the next frame, perhaps. Oh, there he is. Oh, he's the best of all the chiefs in the whole Congo. Look how cute he is. Now, this is the first time I ever met him. He's decorated his body. He put a type of green mud, and he put soot from the fire on their coals, and he made his own grass skirt. But he's the chief. You can tell because he has the bow and arrow. And he's the one that came forward to speak to me. He's the chief. And he is giving me a gift. So when he did that, I knew he was the best of all the chiefs because none of the others gave me a gift. In 9.5 years, 75,000 pygmies, dozens of chiefs, he's the only one that ever gave me a gift. And I remember that day. He came forward. They were all saved. I'd given him maybe $10,000 worth of gifts, you know, machetes, food, clothes, et cetera, et cetera. And we had it all piled up on big trucks, and we gave it all away. And he was so astonished. He came forward with this gift. See in his hand, he's handing me something. Okay, that's a little garment they make out of tree bark, and it's very hard to make. And so they get the bark off, they pound on it for about 10 days, and they shape it into a loincloth, and it's the most precious thing any pygmy has. So he came up and he said, "You have given us so much, and we have nothing to give you except this, and it's the best we have." And he handed that to me, and that's when the picture was taken. And then he stepped back, he said, "And we accept your God." So it was a glorious day. That chief walks in the glory of God like no other in all of the Congo. He is the best one. And it's because his heart is so beautiful. And he fell in love with Jesus, and he loved me so much, he called his village that I built him Bree Village. And he is my favorite. Okay, next picture. Now, this is him 2 years later. Look, he's all in his nice clothes standing next to me there. That's a medical mission to Bree Village. You can see the houses in the background there. And we've brought in medicine. And so he's just there, just crying, and he's so happy. And we've come to pray and bring medicine too. So here's what happened. About a year after that right there, he's been listening to the word of God on this little proclaimer I give him all around the campfire every night. All the villages listen to the word of God, so they're getting built up. We've drawn the bloodline of Jesus all the way around that village. And that is absolutely important. You should do that here. When you go home tomorrow, get up and draw a bloodline of Jesus all the way around the edges of your property. And another thing we do, we always stake it. Dylan didn't bring our stakes up, but we have scripture stakes, and we stake the land and claim it for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If there's any devils on there, we kick them out, make them go, and then we take the land. And so we use a lot of scripture for that. He can tell you all about it. All right, so now here we are. A year after that picture was taken, I get a phone call. Now I'm in Kansas City where I live, and I get a call, "Hurry, hurry, there's an epidemic. It's broken out. People are dying. Come and help." Click. I was trying to say, "Where? I mean, what's the epidemic?" But they hung up. So it was in the Ebola region. So I figured, okay, it's another outbreak of Ebola, but I didn't know. So we got our team together. We rushed in there, and we had all this stuff we were to give them. We were going to help them and do all this. But you know what? This chief, he ran out to meet us. And I told everybody, if everybody's dead on the ground or you just see bones, don't get out of the car. We'll drive to the next village because I have three. I said, don't get out because there's no use if there's just bones on the ground. We're going. But we got there, and they all ran, the whole village, him in the front, singing and dancing and praising the Lord. And so finally, you know, after 3 hours of that, I said, stop. Where is this epidemic? We've come halfway around the world. That didn't mean anything to him because he lives in a jungle. But anyway, I said, tell me. He says, oh. I see, the way they... they talk over there. They talk to you if they got something real serious. They go, like that. Can you guys do it? And so that's what he did. I said, no, now tell me. He says, Dr. Bree, he says something terrible. What? He says, well, he said the epidemic broke out. I said, what epidemic? Ebola. Okay, go on. He said, well, Ebola broke out all around us. And we had people that had come to live with us in the village, but Dr. Bree, they didn't know the Lord like we do. And they weren't deep in the Word like us. Oh, boy. Okay, go ahead. He goes, well, when the epidemic came, they all ran to me and they said, we have to leave or we're all going to die. And he said to them, no, I will not leave. We're going to stay here and we're going to trust the Lord and we're going to keep our word to Dr. Bree. And they said, we're running into the jungle. So they ran in the jungle. He said, Dr. Bree, they all died. But all of us that stayed inside the village and inside the bloodline of Jesus and trusted the Lord, we all lived. Now that's pretty big. I said, wow. I was really impressed. I said, that's amazing. I said, well, how come all those houses over there are empty? He says, oh, there's demons in there. I said, there's demons? No, there's no demons. The glory of God is in here because he'd already told me the snakes had left. You see, when the glory of God is present, the snakes will leave. There's a metaphor for you. Man, you release the glory in your house, the demons will leave. They can't stand to be where the glory is. So you see, you need the glory on you and in your house. So he says, yes, there's no snakes here anymore. They have deadly snakes. Black mambas, man, they bite you. You're dead. That's it. No antidote except for the Lord. And so he says, yeah, the snakes are gone. I said, well, yeah, but there's no demons. There's demons. I said, I'm going to show you there's no demons on those houses. So I took off walking, and they're running behind me. No, no. And I took off running, and I got to the house, and I stepped inside, and they're all looking at me like they're sure I'm going to drop dead, see. And I'm in there. I go, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. And I step back out of the house, and they're all looking at me like this to see if I'm going to drop dead. I said, there's no demon in there. They go, I said, I'm going to show you. No. And I jump back in the house. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No demons in here. The glory of God is here. And I step back out and they go, okay. So I said, get in the houses. I don't want you sleeping around the campfire. I've built you nice houses. Get in those houses. They said, okay. And I said, and I'm calling an end to the morning. Because in that society, 6 months mourning, and they don't work or they'll all starve to death. So I said, I'm declaring an end to the morning, and we're all going to go plant. Okay. So we went out. We had to burn off the land. Then we had to hoe the ground. We had to cut down all the trees and prepare the land because it had gone fallow because they were all in mourning. So now there was a day I bought a bunch of seeds and plants and everything, and I came into town. Now, this little video, I believe it's on my website. And it's worth a watch. It's very, very interesting. So I'm standing there with all the seeds, and I've given hoes to all the women. And all the little pygmy women are standing there like Farmer John with a hoe. And they're in a row. And it's just precious. They're so cute. And they're just standing there solemn. They're so proud of that hoe, you know. And so I'm out there in the front, and I'm showing the seeds. Oh, yes, here's the beans and the cassava and the maize. And we're going to plant palm trees. And oh, yes, and I'm telling all this, and I said, we're going to plant these seeds, and there'll be a great harvest of seeds. And then I heard from the Lord, and there'll be a harvest of souls. So I thought, yeah, now that's a great reward. For their faith, God wanted to reward them. How about that, you guys? Don't you know, if you'll exercise your faith, God will reward you. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Isn't that the truth? Oh, it's truth. So get the seeds planted, and we went home. 3 months later, we get this call. Hurry, hurry, hurry. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. They're pointing the scripture to me. So I go, okay. So all my team goes rushing in there. I have never seen anything like it. The harvest was 100-fold. It was so massive. We had to even get the men to do the harvest. It's always the women in that culture because the men are out, the mighty hunters, and they're shooting animals to eat, you know. But they had to get in there, and everybody helped. So go to the next frame. Let's see. Yeah. This is for the repentance. Okay, go on. I'm looking for, go to the next one. Oh, man, I thought we were going to see that picture. He that dwelleth in the secret place, abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He is my refuge and fortress. Oh, here it is. There's the pygmy women of Bree Village bringing in that 100-fold harvest. Look at them bent down with the weight of it. And they made hundreds of trips back and forth, and the men got in there, and all my team members got in there, and they're all bringing in this massive harvest. We had to build more houses. We couldn't do that, so we went and bought tents, and we rammed everything in tents, and I've never seen such a harvest, 100-fold. So what happened? Word got around with all the big Africans who hate pygmies, by the way. They hate them, and so word got around, and some of these big old guys just started stomping into the Bree Village. And they were angry, and I didn't know if they were going to try to kill everybody or what they were up to. Probably that was the case, and steal the stuff. And so this little chief, the one I showed you, he stood up really tall all the way up to here, and he looked up at these, and he said, "What do you want?" And they said, "We want to know why you got all this big harvest and we got nothing." So he says, "Oh." He says, "Now, how many did you lose in the epidemic?" And they said, "Many. We lost everyone." He says, "Oh, well, look around you. Not one person in this village died. We never got it." Oh, my God. He says, "Now, how was your harvest this year? What'd you get?" They said, "We didn't get anything." He said, "Look around you. Look at all these little tents and these little buildings full of our harvest. We got 100-fold harvest." And he looked at them, and they're nodding. He says, "Don't you want our God?" And that little pygmy chief led all those angry big Africans to Jesus. Amen. So that's the glory of God in operation. You see, I've barely touched and introduced this subject tonight. Tomorrow, I'm going to give you keys that will unlock every lock right straight into the glory. And I'm going to show you things that can be done while you're hidden in the glory you have not dreamed of. It's just way out there. It's so amazing once you realize that it's possible to release the glory into this world. And to walk in it yourself, truly, all things become possible to him that believes. God bless you guys. We're just getting started. I'm not kidding. How do you like it so far? Amen. Pastor, now tomorrow night at 7, yes, we're going to go, whoo! Out tomorrow night, so don't miss it.